My subject's too much for me. It's probably the first or second most quoted verse in the Bible by us Baptists. I know you know it by heart. But look at it one more time with me in John 3:16. For God, the one that Brother Hamill described, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Brother Ed asked me what my subject was. Love is. You know, for generations, people say, what is love? What is love? Now, when I was a young man, maybe the age of these young fellas sitting here on the second row, according to a popular song, it was 5 feet of heaven in a ponytail. Some of you that are my age might remember that. And then I've heard of a young man driving a sports car with a soft drink in his hand. As he come up to the intersection, an old fella ran the red light and he hit the brakes and spun around. A circle of soda pop went over and he stood up and said, I love you. But is that love? He didn't curse him. He said, I love you. My point, is that love? Is that love? What is love? What is love? In the last few months, my Lord has shown me some things that I believe is in love that if you don't have, brethren, forgive me, I'm nobody to preach to you preachers, but I want to preach to you preachers. Love first starts with giving. Love gives. Isn't that what God so loved that he what? He gave. Do you love the Lord? Do you love your people? Do you love your wife? Do you love your children? Do you give? Point one of giving, and the most important, is yourself. Giving of yourself. Somewhere along the line, and maybe it's just me. If I'm just preaching to myself, y'all go along and forbear me and pray with me. But somewhere along the line, we preachers have gotten to a point where we've forgotten that there are two wills still working in us. The will of man and the Holy Spirit of God. Brethren, we have the truth. We preach the truth. We stand on the truth. But do we love? Sounds like it's a little bit personal, doesn't it? Brethren, if I bring up anything about my life that the Lord showed me that's personal and it bothers you, forgive me, and I'll pray for you. For you know nothing about Jesus Christ, God the Father, His greatness or His glory, unless it's personal. Do you give yourself? Do you give yourself? Or do you give the portion of yourself that you want to give? Love gives. One thing within yourself that you have got to give, and you have got to do it, is a spirit of humility. I find that in my Bible, and I'm not talking about those that raise all kinds of cane all week long and then get that holier than thou on Sundays and Wednesdays. And there are preachers like it. Said, how do you know I've been one? See, that's what I'm saying about personal, brother. I don't know nothing unless I've experienced it. Look in the book of Peter first. Let me read some scriptures to you. The first book of Peter. That's in the New Testament, brother, right? Chapter 5. I'm just reading what the Lord had this man write. Elders? Is that a preacher? The elders who are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Elders, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight of it, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for a filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples or ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. In like manner, Brother Mark, Brother Terry, Brother Ray, in like manner, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder, yea, all of you, elders, older preachers, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Therefore, and therefore is not there, but therefore, look at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He might, what? Exalt you in due time. Where is the spirit of humility today? Sometimes I see rising up within my flesh a little God. If it hadn't bothered any of you preachers, you better thank God. But you got the truth, and therefore I've got the truth. But I say unto you today, who gave you the truth? Who revealed it unto you? Was it not the Lord through the Spirit of God, through the preaching of the Word? What separates you from Catholicism? What separates you from Hinduism, but not the grace of God? If that's it. Humility. Man, when I walk up here, when the brother started preaching there, and he could took the other 5 minutes, my eyes were watering. Part of it was my heart was being broken, and part of it was two cups of tea and a glass of coffee. But my point is this. Love gives, and it'll give a man a spirit of humility that he looks at himself and says, God, I am not worthy to do this. I am not qualified to do this. I have not the ability to do this. But you, Father, are the great God that He spoke about, and are able to lift me up and place me where I can speak to the people, but only in the spirit of love through giving and humility. Now here's one we, brethren, love to preach. Part of this giving of yourself. Submission. Boy, we love telling our women about that, boy. Submit yourselves, women, to your husbands. But read further. As you ought to, Christ is your head, you submit to Him. God help us. I'm going to poke my finger at you, brother, because three of them coming right back here. God help us that we will, as Brother Titus said, take leadership in our families, we men. We don't need the promise keepers. We got the promises of God.
Amen.
Man, if we're going to be blessed, we're going to have to pray that God will give us backbone and gumption and knowledge. And then we're going to have to pray that our wives have a submissive will. Look in James chapter 4. Now listen, brethren, I'm preaching basically to preachers, and I'm one, so I'm preaching to myself. Hey, listen, brethren, from where come wars and fightings among you? Think on these things. Come they not here even of your lust that war in your members?
Amen.
This is too great for me, Brother Clark. Within us, we do things for popularity. We do things for filthy lucre. True. Ye lust and have not. Why? Where's the Spirit of God go? God got small on us, did he? Not according to the word that they've talked today. If the Spirit of God is not being manifest in your church, start here. Pastors, start here. You cannot obtain. You fight and war, and you have not because you ask not. And then he says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it up beyond your own lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Wonder what he meant there. Amen. Just exactly what he said. Have you found yourself committing fornication with the religion of this world? Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? And that's a pretty strong word if I understand the Bible, enmity. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but give grace to the humble. Verse 7 is what I want you to see, preachers. Humble. Well, excuse me, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Somewhere along the line, we taught our kids that the devil was in a red suit with horns and a long tail. Didn't we? Well, let me tell you what. He could be sitting right beside you. An angel of light, brother. Appealing. Drawing. Submission is a part of the giving in your ministry. You've got to remember, brother, where your head is and who he is. And you've got to remember that you must be in constant fellowship and access to the Lord for your people. You must be in a state of constant submission. See, that's easy. Isn't for me. It's not for this boy. Listen, Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. I don't want to call a brother a liar, but he's got to be a little bit off base. I'm the worst person I know. Nothing in me that's good except what the Lord placed there. Nothing. Nothing. Here's one that we think about and do when we have time. Part of this giving. And that's yourself to prayer.
Amen.
I want to see how many Baptist preachers are honest enough to say they will not pray as much as they ought. Anybody here like me? I see a couple. Okay. Yeah. Prayer changes things, doesn't it? Does it change God's sovereignty? No. Does it change what God's got written down from the foundation of the earth, brother? No. But it changes you. It gets you to the place of Gethsemane. Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thine be done. That's what prayer does, brother.
Amen.
That's where I had to come to. That's where you got to come to. And I'll tell you this, preachers, you got to keep coming there. Not a beggar, no, I'm not saying you're a beggar. But you've got to have full realization of who you are. Giving up yourself in humility and submission in prayer. In James chapter 1, verse 5 says this, and this is good for preachers. Preachers, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You know, our God is not one like us that says, I told you so. You ever had that spirit, Brother Ray? You know you're right. And you see somebody going wrong. You know it's what's going to happen down the road. And it happens. And I told you so. My God, thankful he doesn't do that. He corrects me. He whips me. He spanks me. Gets me back in line. But it's all the time in love. In love. Here's another one. Money. Oh yeah, preacher's got to preach about money. Well, I'm going to hit these kids. Anybody that's old enough to be saved and gets a job where they make a little money, they owe God one tenth. First thing he did for me, thank God. You mow dad's lawn, he gives you $5, and you're saved by God's grace, you owe God 50 cents. You're not giving it to him, you owe it to him. It's his. But I got out there and sweated. Who gave you the breath to get out there and sweat? Have you ever tried to squeeze God? Look at 2 Corinthians, letter chapter 9. Verse 6 says there, but this I say, he who soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl is saved by God's amazing grace, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. There's been times when I could have used God's one-tenth. Brother Kissel, I could have had places to put it. But I owe God that. And God's blessed me. I'm not a rich man, but God's blessed me. And I started giving a little bit more than one-tenth. And God's blessed me more. Say, you try to tempt people to give more? No. Don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. Amen. Of your money. Amen. That supports a lot of things. There might be some poor, dark-skinned soul that would never have the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ except for your giving of your money. Why has this church been blessed so much? Faith Missionary Baptist Church in Paducah, because they are willing to give of their financial blessings. Amen. Good night. I got 3 more points, Brother Bill. I got another word that goes along with this love after giving. It's called forgiving. Doesn't the word forgiveness sort of have a ring of divinity to it? Forgiveness. Brother Asbury, if I saved your soul and you sinned against me after I'd saved you, I'd condemn you, cast you away. But he says, I'll forgive. But it's conditional. Forgiveness is conditional in one aspect, and I'll show you with God's grace that it's a little bit more than that in some others. He will forgive you, brother, if you will confess. He's faithful and just, 1 John, right? If you'll confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and let you go your way and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's the God that gives us preachers the spirit of forgiveness. If you do not have that spirit in you, you don't love. If you don't have the spirit of forgiveness, you don't love. Third time's always charm. If you don't have the spirit of forgiveness, you do not love. Who am I supposed to forgive? Let me tell you the first one you got to forgive. Yourself. We preachers can accomplish little dragging around things with us we think God won't forgive. How'd you know that, Brother Terry? Learned the hard way. Drug some stuff around, Brother Clark. See, I'd been saved by God's amazing grace, and I trusted him with everything, and then I found myself drinking again after I was saved. Well, he won't forgive me this time. I got enough Adam in me, that's what I thought. He won't forgive me this time, Brother Mark. So I'll just bear this burden, this alcohol. Guess what? That one burden just kept piling. I couldn't handle it, brother. Lord, I've heard you. I've heard you. But I'm going to lay it on top of you right here. You take it all. I'm going to believe what Romans, what 1 John 1, what is it, 8 and 9 says? I'm going to believe it. I'm going to trust you. You know, the faith that you have at salvation is not the only faith you need the rest of your life. It needs to be strengthened and nurtured in love. Through giving and through forgiveness. Brethren, I'll tell you what. We're split in a lot of ways. We are. And we're going to split more. Because we've gotten comfortable. Now, haven't we? I'll talk a little bit about that. But God's going to do it. You've got to forgive yourself. Next, preachers. You've got to forgive God's children. Amen. Amen. By golly, you don't know what they said about my wife or my child. I'm not going to forgive them. You don't love. You got the wrong spirit. Look in Luke 17. A lot of these have already been read. Luke, the 17th chapter. Verse 3 says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. That's Jesus' commandment. And I believe it. But brethren, Brother Bell goes further now. I'm here to tell you, if you want to be right with God, you best forgive them before they ask. Say, you ain't got scripture for that. I think I do. In the book of Matthew chapter 6. I'm sorry. I'm going to pass right by that and go to Luke 23. Just pass right on by that and go to Luke 23. Luke 23. It's in the Bible, isn't it, Brother Ray? Okay, thank you. Look at the 34th verse. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Did the Roman soldiers ask for forgiveness? Are we Christians? Do we supposed to have the Spirit of Christ in us? I don't use that word very often, brother, because it's become generic. Christian. Everybody's Christian. But if I understand the Bible, that means Christ-like. Is that right? I don't know many Christians. I know a few. But Jesus said right there, nailed to the cross, forgive them. They know not what they do. When you have the Spirit of forgiveness working at first, even before they come to you, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. They didn't ask for it. Said what he was just talking to those that didn't know him and that were nailing him to the tree. I don't think so. I see some people out there that did know him, and they are sorrowing like the end of the world had come. He told them this must happen, Brother Ray. His disciples and his mother and others were there that heard him, and they said, it's all over now. What are we going to do? Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. Somebody mentioned the person almost crawling into the casket over grief. That's the kind of grief that was being shown there. But Jesus had already told them, this must be. Forgive them also, Brother Hall. Forgive those that I've called to preach the gospel that have gone quit. Oh, Jesus is dead now. We've got nobody to lead us. We better blend right back into the crowd like old Peter. That's what's wrong with a lot of Baptist preachers today. They've blended in too much. Amen. Forgiving your enemies. Who is your enemy? Well, if God has given you the truth in love, and he's forgiven you in love, and he's taught you how to forgive in love, anybody who walks contrary to what God's taught you according to his word is your enemy. I don't like that. I got quiet then. That's okay. Said, well, they either got to be in one or two places. They either got to be misled or in rebellion. I'm talking about religious people now. Brethren, I don't worry about you that know the truth of God's word. I don't, that doesn't bother me. I know you know what the right elements for everything is and the right mode. But what about these little ones? That's what breaks my heart, Brother Clark, when I see people that are supposed to be the leaders of the church and the pillars of the church and even the pastors of the churches going and doing things that they know they ought not to do. What about these little ones? A little leaven's part of the lump. Huh? Yeah, they got off of quiet and I'm meddling, I guess. I say Jesus Christ's forgiveness that day at the cross was expressed to all that was there. In love. He loved them enough to forgive them. Now let's look at another part of love. Caring. Caring. Today's world is filled with people that send their children to school so that they can get them out of the house so they can play their games. Today's world is filled with parents that believe it is one man's responsibility to show their children their need for Christ. One person's. That's their pastor. The commission given to the pastor's brother or to the church? To the church. To the whole church. As the brother so rightly put it, every block framed in the church, put there by God. It's your responsibility to let people know who you are and what you stand for. God help us today. God help us today that we don't get into trying, like you said, trying to get numbers instead of just giving the effort. God will bless the effort. He won't bless the numbers. Amen. It's been proven time and time again by sound men of God going to churches and preaching where the numbers come in, some saved by God's marvelous grace, and some there. And then when the Lord calls the man home to glory, or he moves him to another place, the church bursts like it's rotten, and probably is. It is so important that we care what we do. We care where we go. We care who we fellowship with. I mean, call me a meddler, hate me, I don't care. God give me this message. And I tell you what, it's going to burst if it don't get out of me. I love you. I care what you do. I care where you go. And I care about these little ones that's sitting here that doesn't have Christ. Teach them the truth with your life. And not just with your words. Woo! I'm not trying to act like Ric Flair. That's a load off. The ministry today is based whole bunch on duties and fellowship. All through this country, our duties and our fellowship, our duties and our fellowship. What about the Word of God? Brethren, we need our lamps either relit or re-oiled. See, what's the difference? Ones that need to be relit are lost. Ones that need to be re-oiled have been saved, but they let things slide. Brother Jerry, I think the love of many a wax cold was said somewhere through this book. Do we love? Do we love to the point that we're willing to give all and we're willing to forgive all and we're willing to care? And what about what he said in the psalm about this caring? The 142nd psalm. This is where a person got to. In verse 4 he said, I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Brethren, we Baptists of God saved by His marvelous grace and placed in His body, we that claim to have the truth, if we don't care for lost souls, who will? Amen. Who will? And finally, sharing. Sharing. What's the difference in giving and sharing? Sharing's getting a lot closer. Huh? Sharing gets a lot closer. I pray you that have been at this a long time before me that God will let you receive this message the way I mean it, and that's in love. I pray that we'll all start reevaluating our lives. Every one of us. So, well, what could be the consequences, Brother Terry, if we don't? Because everything's going along pretty good. God gave us another great example of this. The Bible's full of great examples. You know it. He's taught us all through Israel. Israel dumber than stumps. I'm serious, man. Oh, we got to get out of Egypt and get them out of Egypt. And, thank you, God. Now you can go your way. We'll do our thing. That's us, Brother Johnny. That's us. Look in the book of Revelation. In the 3rd chapter, here we are today in our churches by and large. And tell the angel of the church, verse 14 of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. The faithful and true witness, Brother Matter. The faithful, that sounds like our Lord, doesn't it? The beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, church. Now he's writing to the angel. You know what that word means? Or at least I was taught this. It meant messenger, overseer, pastor, elder, bishop. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. When something is spewed out of someone's mouth, I don't see a lot of people rushing to grab that. Why are they lukewarm? What is the spirit of lukewarmness? Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Even Jesus? Even the truth? Even his love? And have no need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I hate you and I'm going to damn you to hell. No. I counsel thee to buy of me my truths, my doctrines, my ordinances, my commandments. And you know what that all adds up to? My love. Buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be lukewarm, therefore, and repent. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. There's no zeal today. There's no zeal today. Why is that? Because there's not any love, mature love, like there ought to be. I don't care what the pastor says. I'm going to live my life the way I want to. I don't care what God says. They're my friends, and I'm going to stay real close to them. Listen, I went into a coal mine one time with a white suit and come out spotless white, right? Not on your life.
Amen. You got it.
You understand what I'm saying? We ministers need the Word of God, and we need revival. Revival. My dad passed out a couple of weeks ago. Had some kind of spell. Laid in the rain out in front of one of the local businesses. And he needed to be revived. Revived. We need to remember what we were and where we were headed, pastors. What we were and where we were headed. Except for his grace and mercy, Brother Hall. And except for that, love, mercy, and grace, we would already be in a place of perpetual torment. It's real. You youngsters, listen to me. Hell is real. Don't ask me to explain it all, but God is going to give you a body, you that are lost, that will never die. And it will suffer for eternity. Without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's your destination. Love means giving and forgiving, caring and sharing. True love. Let us who have the truth of God's holy word be instant, in season and out of season, reproving God's word with love. Rebuking with God's word in love. Exhorting in God's word with love. Oh, me. with all long sufferings, with a long suffering spirit, according to Christ's doctrine. They were amazed at his doctrine, wasn't they? Real love is giving and forgiving, caring and sharing. As God has taught us about his love, let us tell others and really show others what love is. In closing, God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved that he gave. And through his gift, there is forgiveness. He cared enough that he shared the perfect gift. There's love. And without it, Paul wrote, I don't know if I'll find it, but he said, you speak with many tongues, you do all kinds of works, and you can do this and you can do that. You've got the ability to keep people's attention. You've got the ability to raise vast numbers of dollars. You've got the ability of this and this and this. And if you do it without love, it's nothing. My prayer in closing. You here that are lost, you need a Savior. Amen. You need someone to take your penalty. It's already been done. My prayer to God this morning, or this afternoon, is that he would take his Holy Spirit and bring you to the end of your will. That's what must be done in it, Brother Sennett. The end of your will. And then, as I explain in my feeble way, I walk forward to trust Jesus Christ. And Brother Bill, the minute I got up front, I looked back and I saw Jesus bringing me all the way up there. That's God's sovereignty. I came to Christ, yet not I, but Christ.
Everybody that sticks their feet on my table.